Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today we're talking about how you can become newsworthy and attract the press with my friend and colleague, Devin Blaine. Now, Devin is a professional communicator, and she does it beautifully, and she is the founder of the Blaine Group Incorporated. She is experienced in all facets of the communications industry, formerly an actress, model, and a stunt driver. You've never told me about that. We need to talk about that in our conversation. She founded the agency in 1975, and besides designing communications campaigns that help businesses maximize their success, she has long been active in numerous entrepreneurial organizations, including Accelerate, thus earning a reputation as the entrepreneur's entrepreneur. That's big. She has incorporated the knowledge gained from these ventures into the philosophy of the Blaine Group, and the agency has an award-winning track record in serving the needs of emerging companies and major corporations alike. Now, the Blaine Group specializes in developing and implementing public relations campaigns and marketing strategies as comprehensive communications campaign or as standalone entities. And the firm represents many authors and fast-track emerging growth companies. It also handles investor relations and financial public relations activities for its publicly traded clients. And Blaine is visiting Your Partner in Success Radio today to share, and write these down, they're important, how to do your own PR, how to get covered in the press, how to write a press release, how to be newsworthy, how to approach the media, and she's got some terrific newsworthy events that she's done recently, and I'm going to ask for some case studies. And I'm also going to tell you from the heart that Devin Blaine is my go-to expert when I have questions about press releases or honestly anything to do with the press. Devin, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's so good to have you here.
Ethan, you are so kind. What a magnificent introduction. I'm honored.
Oh, well, you're a friend of mine. I love the work you do, and I'm excited to have you here because, and it just so happens, you know, there's no accidents, right? Yesterday I was a guest on another podcast, and she was asking about, you know, press releases. How do you do your, I mean, what is marketing? What's the difference between social media marketing and marketing? And I instantly went to, I'm asking Blaine about that because I'm sorry. Did I say I was struggling earlier? I am struggling. It's going to be one of those mornings, and I'm just going to go with it and fall down the rabbit hole. But what I started to tell you is that, you know, I said, I've got to ask Devin about that because press releases are a big part of marketing, maybe not necessarily about social media marketing, but definitely about marketing. So we'll get to that. So
yes,
where would
absolutely.
Yeah, it's important to have those distinctions. So where would you like to start now that I've told everybody and their grandmother I can't talk today?
Well, a lot of people don't know the difference between advertising and PR. That's an FAQ.
Right.
Very simply put, advertising is content that because you buy the time or the space within regulatory confines, you can say whatever you want. You can present your product or service however you choose. Public relations is the coverage that the news media gives you because it's perceived as public information or newsworthy. And examples of that, you turn on the evening news, you hear a story about what's going on in politics. That's planted by, the government calls them public information officers rather than public relations people or publicists, but it's planted. it's submitted, they consider it, the press considers it worth covering, that's how it happens. Often on the morning shows, you'll hear about the 100th anniversary of XYZ company and their products. They could be Hostess Cupcakes. It could be Dunkin' Donuts changing their name to Dunkin'. That's all coverage given because they think it's a newsworthy story, they being the press. We've even planted the weather report.
What?
And that's a typical reaction.
Let's talk about that.
Going back a number of years, Denise, we were representing an annual event in California called the Renaissance Pleasure Fair. And it's where people dress up in costumes. They go. There are actors. There are horse events. There's the foods of the Renaissance, the games, crafts. Lots of booths, lots of vendors, lots of fun, lots of bawdiness. The first year we represented the fair, which opened on a Saturday, and it would be open Saturday, Sunday, six sequential weekends. There were torrential rains on Wednesday. They subsided by Thursday. But on Thursday afternoon, the fair producer called and said, "We can't open this weekend. The fair site is so muddy, not only can the vendors not get to their booths, but the public cannot park in the parking lot. Their cars would get stuck." The fair would pre-sell tickets, and the tickets were good for any of the six weekends, any day you wanted to come. Not like a theater where you buy tickets for Friday night, 8 o'clock show. So how, and they normally had 200,000 people show up on opening day. So we were faced with the task of how do you tell 200,000 people not to drive to the fair site on Saturday? And the weather prediction was that it would be a gorgeous day. So who would think?
Oh.
The rain had stopped. It was going to be a perfect fair day. So we went to the news media, and one of the TV stations sent a news crew out on Friday to the site, and their weather report that evening was done over the backdrop of the puddles at the fair and an announcement of why it wouldn't be opening. It was going to be a gorgeous weekend, but the fair was extended for another weekend, so it would still run six weekends. And testament to the power of the news, only 200 cars showed up that Saturday morning.
Oh, my.
As opposed to a potential
300,000. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We get the same thing. I live in southwest Louisiana. It's very humid here. It's always wet. Summer is the rain season. And I will tell anybody who asks, we basically have two seasons in southwest Louisiana, hot and hotter than hell. And you have to add in the mud season to that, too. So right now, we're in the mud season on top of everything else. So I completely get it.
You have really been hit with all
the Yeah. You know, we've had five named storms coming this way. Two of them came directly to my door and said, "Hey, Denise, you busy?" So,
you know, I know.
I need a new roof. I need a mailbox. I've got broken windows, but it could be worse. I'm not complaining.
You just have the world's best attitude, Denise.
It could be worse, right? I mean, when I woke up that after this last one, I went, "Oh, my trees are still standing. I love my trees." That's all I cared about. As long as they weren't on the ground or in the roof, I was happy.
That's great.
Okay, so when you're talking about, and that's That's pretty brilliant to, you know, go to the news and say, listen, we need your help with this.
I have a problem.
Right, right. So, and these days, you know, the news is troublesome. It's just troublesome. And there's an awful lot of stuff going on in the news that I just, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes if I'm in the car and I'm listening to the news, I just want to bite my steering wheel. But what you're talking about is using news media properly to actually help people, not get out there and foment trouble. You're actually helping people. And that's what I love to hear.
Thank you. And there's so many ways to do that. And the pandemic has been an exercise in how to be more creative than ever.
Well,
because for a number of months, there was nothing being covered that wasn't COVID related.
Exactly. And not too long ago.
So how do you make every client have a relationship with COVID-19?
Right. And I want to talk about a press release that you sent me a couple of months ago about breast cancer. Let's talk about that, because that was a big success for you, I think.
Susan G. Komen is a longtime client of ours. And, of course, women with breast cancer or survivors are part of the most at-risk people for COVID. So the first thing we did, Komen established a special fund for the extra needs that their constituency would have during the pandemic. And we started sending the exec director, who, by the way, is a COVID survivor, to talk to the press and provided tips for breast cancer patients. And that was readily accepted by everyone in the media. Everyone cared about that. That was an important COVID story.
And a helpful story. That's my point. When I hear tips and advice and case studies coming from the press that aren't trying to move you from one thought to another, but are actually working for you, they're helping you, that's what I'm interested in. I think most people are. We don't want to be shoved around and say, oh, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. But here's things that you can do, and they're immensely successful. So good luck to you. I mean, that's, to me, that's news.
And we were very blessed in that we also represent a medical doctor who has written two books on diabetes. In fact, how to reverse type 2 diabetes in 8 weeks.
He's going to be my guest soon. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Great.
So mention his name so people know to look for him.
And Dr. John also has tips for those who have diabetes, because they too are part of that most at-risk population for COVID. So these are all people who need to take a little extra care. And we have the clients who could talk about it. And it was, we just got so lucky, Denise, at the very, before the pandemic became a lockdown, at least it did here and in many other parts of the country, early March, we started working with a consulting firm that does health security, pandemic planning, emergency management, and for 20 years had run the practice exercises for the deployment of the Strategic National Stockpile. And the Strategic National Stockpile was busy, so they wouldn't talk to the press, but our client would. And we had national TV media that could not wait to talk to our client. The challenge was, as soon as they would book a spokesperson, sometimes even before we told the client what day and what time, they'd call back and change it. The newsrooms were so dysfunctional at the beginning of the pandemic, Denise.
Oh,
and
I believe you.
Of course they were. They're people too. And you know, they were dealing with a fast-breaking, unknown environment as well as their own lives. So to me, it was a time to just take a deep breath and be kind and gentle to everyone. By the way, a friend of mine sent me an emoji this morning saying it's National Kindness Day.
It is. And it's Friday the 13th, so let's just make both of those work.
Yes. Put that out there.
Already done. It's all over my social media. It's all over my client's social media. And it's the last Friday the 13th of the year. Thank goodness.
Oh, is it?
It is. The next one, I think, is in August 2021. That's right.
From your mouth,
we're good. We're good. It's all fine.
That's great.
So I have so many questions for you. I'm probably going to stutter because my brain is going, oh, ask her this and ask her this and stop talking, let her talk. It's just I've got so much I want to ask you. So you have done, in your company, you've done a tremendous job of helping your clients and actually taking groups of your clients because you know them well and helping them apparently work together and make cohesive strategies and messages that do help the public. I mean, we don't know what's going on. COVID, yes. Mask, yes. No. Yeah. I mean, what the heck? You know, there's just so much conflicting information. So I love that you're able to take your clients and say, hey, we've got this going on. How about if we work with you on this, and now you've got basically a group of information that you can share that is really helpful. Is that what you're doing? I mean, that's what it sounds like, what you're doing.
And part of what we do, Denise, is just think a little differently. Early on in my career, I was involved with a man who was an advertising genius and had written several books, one that became a bestseller. And I learned so much from him. So in some ways, I look at things from an ad agency perspective. I also look at things like Wayne Gretzky. Where are things going to go? At the beginning of the pandemic, I said, this is such a disaster for so many people financially. They're going to need financial expertise. We need to be representing a financial planner.
Good point.
Officially on the 15th, we begin work with the author of The Ultimate Financial Planning Guide.
Nice. And again, helpful. Very helpful.
Great advice. Now, I learned things reading it that I never knew as the owner of a small company. Also at the beginning of the pandemic, I said, those masks are going to cause skin issues. We need a dermatologist because they're going to have the answers of what people can and should do to avoid I believe it's now called maskne.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see pictures of it on the internet and just go, oh my gosh. And I don't know about you, and this is just a personal aside and observation. We breathe in a lot of stuff. We have little filters in our lungs. We call them little brushes or combs, whatever you want to call them. Your lungs are supposed to be cleaning things out, but when you're breathing a lot of stuff back into a mask, again, this is my personal opinion, that is now trapped on your face and it's picking up all these particles of stuff that breathing in, breathing out. I just, my head goes, oh, that's nasty. Fresh air. Give me all the fresh air you can. Don't put a mask. I don't own a mask. I won't wear one. Fortunately, I'm a highly committed introvert, and I'm rarely out in public. But when I am out in public, I don't wear a mask. I know. My entire family lives over there, and I keep saying, you know, I love y'all, but there's a reason I live in a galaxy far, far away. This is just one of them. But, you know, there's so many things with the mask that personally I won't wear one. I can't wear one. I mean, I'm just thought of it just makes me go, oh, my God, no. But I love the fact that you're talking about, you know, the problems with your scans, you know, and I'm talking about the problems with breathing junk back into a trapped thing on your face. There's so many issues with these.
Dr. Fauci.
I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to say what I think. I'm muting myself right now. but anyway, yeah, and I understand that some people can and should wear them. My brother is a double lung transplant patient. He has to wear them, you know, to keep himself safe. I understand, and I'm not going to make fun of anybody who's wearing them or not wearing them. Personally, I won't, and that's just all there is to it.
And I wear one when I'm out in public out of courtesy because I think it's the right thing to do.
And I understand that. Like I say, most of my stuff comes to my door, so I'm not out there causing angst for people, thank goodness.
Yes, but do I keep it on in my car? No, I wear it getting to the car and exiting the car, but not while I'm driving. I'm the only one in the vehicle.
I know. Somebody asked me, she said, why do you see people, and, you know, we're just being smart, Alex, because that's my normal train of thought. My mother used to say I was an educated smart ass is what she would tell me. But this friend of mine said, why do you see people, you know, wearing a mask in a car? And I said, probably to remind them not to lick the windows. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and there are some people who are just so afraid.
I understand that. And it's terrible to be that fearful about just living. It's just terrible.
But fortunately, neither you nor I inhabit one of those bodies.
No. So, I mean, you've had this wonderful success with your firm, but let's go back just a little bit.
Okay.
Let me find my notes there. Because this one had me going, what? I want her to talk about that. You were a racer? Tell me about that. Let me find my notes here.
I was a stunt car driver.
Okay, stunt car driver. I knew I loved you for a reason. Let's talk about that just quickly because it sounds fascinating.
That goes back to a prior career, and it goes back to my early 20s when perhaps I did not have as many brain cells as I have today. And as an actress and a model, you get sent out on a lot of casting calls. And I was sent on one to the production company that was doing sales training films for Chrysler Plymouth Dodge. And the producer asked me in the interview, are you a good driver? Well, I had spent a month, the Toltec truck stop, doing a month-long gig for Union 76. I was one of 10 women throughout the country who were hired as, quote, eye stoppers for Union Oil. Back in the 70s, things like that were politically correct.
Right.
So I looked at him, and I said, oh, I'm a great driver. I just drove back from Casa Grande, Arizona last night. So I was hired, and they also had real stunt car drivers. And my first shoot, Denise, I was on the dry lakes in Northern California, and I was driving a prototype car, which means the ad agency had it for the beauty shots for still photos for magazine ads. Then the TV crew had it for those TV spots. Then it came to the sales training production company. So it's a prototype car. It has 100 or 2 miles on it, and it's fallen apart.
Oh.
Because it's a real car. We're out on the dry lakes, and coming, they have the two cars, the one driven by a professional stunt car driver and me, because I'm close to camera because they're doing the beauty shots, right? And we come out from behind two sand dunes. Cars almost collide and then speed off across the dry lakes. That was fun. I did this for a couple of years with them, and it, you know, it was, when they got the new cars, we'd work a lot for a while. I had different wardrobe, different wigs, because they liked my work, so I would portray different people. The last shoot, I lost my nerve, Denise. I lost my nerve after the shot. We were in Northern California. We were coming down a winding mountain road, two lanes. I was driving a Dodge station wagon, and the cameraman, the camera, and the producer were on a dolly, and they were doing close-ups and pullbacks 6 inches from the hubcap of the car I was driving.
On a windy road.
I was driving my walkie-talkie 60 miles an hour on this winding mountain road.
Oh, Lordy.
Two lanes, the two cars. I found out after the shot that the first production assistant had forgotten to close the road off.
Oh.
If anyone had been coming uphill as we were going downhill, it would have been a wipeout. And at
that's a big mistake.
Yeah, and I understand that it happens a lot on car shoots. And at that point, maybe I'd done this for enough years to have the brain cells surface, because I just said, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, and I know when we're young, we're going to school, we're going to high school, we go to college, and we think we have a one track, or we used to. We're going to do whatever it is that we've decided to do forever and ever, amen. We don't do that anymore. So the beauty of things like that happening, you can now, and I'm not going to use the word pivot because I detest that word, but now you can adapt what you really want to do. You know, the knowledge that you now have, the skills and the brain cells that you now have, and go do something different using all of this wonderful, you know, stuff that you've done before, you know, these wonderful activities that you can now put somewhere else. So there is that, and thank goodness you didn't get hurt.
Thank goodness, yes. Well, I'm a fatalist. I believe when it's your time, it's your time.
Me too.
And it just been my time.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I would have quit too. Right after I smacked somebody in the head real hard. I don't think I would have gone quietly. Probably would have made the news in a bad way. Actress hammers, you know, teammate badly. He's in the hospital.
I was too shocked to be physical.
That's insane. Okay, so one of the reasons, and we can talk all day because you've got some really fascinating stories, but one of the reasons I wanted to get you here is because you are very successful at what you do, and you're doing here today what we're talking about earlier. You're helping people. So not everybody can afford a PR company. Not everybody should need a PR company. So what you're going to do today is kind of help us walk through some of the things that we can do on our own until or unless we actually do need a PR company. So where would you like to start?
Well, that's a speech I give occasionally called How to Do Your Own PR, and I've subtitled it Put the Blank Group Out of Business. And
we're not trying to do that at all.
I was not accusing you of that. Because I figure anyone who successfully does their own PR campaign is going to outgrow what they can do themselves and need us eventually. And that's when I really want them. So what can you do? There's a long list. And one is to have a nose for news. So watch the news. Read the paper. Read your trade journals. Wherever you'd like to be covered, know what they cover. And then think about a non-self-serving way to be covered by them.
And I think what you said there, right there, non-self-serving way is the most important thing. You know, you do not, and I tell this to people all the time, whether it's social media marketing, whether it's marketing an event they've got going on or a course that they've got, you cannot hammer people by jumping up and down saying, look at me, buy my stuff. You will turn people away so quickly and not even realizing you're doing it. So non-serving means I'm actually here to help you, right?
Exactly. And that kind of how to do it yourself, like my speech on how to do your own PR, will give people enough tools to either do it themselves or realize they can't. So, you open a store, the press is not there to announce that you've opened. You can buy an ad for that, and that's what they're going to tell you. A lot of nonprofit organizations think that the press should cover their next fundraiser, and they should cover it well in advance so they can sell more tickets. That's not going to happen. The reason we've been so successful in obtaining coverage for Komen is we got their success stories. We talked to the women and men who are survivors who've been helped by the services that Komen provides. We've told those stories. We've had them tell those stories. We arrange for them to be interviewed. And it's those heartfelt stories that the public can identify with. And that's what causes them to open up their checkbooks.
Oh, exactly right. Listen, you know, I pay a lot of attention to certain foundations. Komen is one of them. St. Jude's is another. And because, you know, and exactly what you're talking about, because I can hear these stories and see the true emotion, thankfulness, fear, angst, gratitude, whatever is going on in their lives when they're doing, you know, their interview, you can feel it. You can see what's really happening and how they have been helped and how they really want to take the help that they received and share it with a much bigger audience. It makes perfect sense.
It does. And some people are not visionary enough to see it.
So let's just do a quick case study here. Let's just make one up. Let's say that we have a client that has never really done anything in terms of having press. You know, they're a small nonprofit. It's run by doctors. It's a free medical clinic. They're having trouble getting, not necessarily people in the doors, but they're having trouble finding sponsors and money and people who will actually help them out. what should they do? Where should they go? Should they go to the people that are standing in the clinic right now waiting for help, or, you know, where should they kind of start?
Well, it depends on what kinds of illnesses they provide support for.
Oh, okay.
One way to find sponsors, and that's not our expertise, but I've watched others do it successfully. They probably have board members who are there because they had a personal situation. If not them, someone close to them, a niece, a sister, or a grandmother, they may be donors.
Oh.
And there are major corporations in every community. One of the board members and one of the largest corporate sponsors for COME in Los Angeles is someone whose father died from cancer, and a number of women who work for the company have had breast cancer. Another sponsor is a women's clothing line, and the woman who became CEO was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 weeks into accepting the job.
Oh, my.
And she was out for surgery, back in a couple of days, but such a strong advocate and makes certain that, and most of her employees are female identifying, to use her words. She makes sure that they get their mammograms and that they take care of themselves. And one of her employees is also a survivor. We also had her be interviewed by some people in the press. So those stories work for the media. They also work to obtain sponsors. So that medical clinic should determine who would care and why, and those are the people to go after.
Gotcha. You know, while you're talking, I'm thinking about a couple of very good friends who have lost their husbands recently to long illnesses. My brother has, as I mentioned earlier, have a lung transplant patient, and he's in year 7. He's every day, he's like, "Woo, need another day, all right." But what I'm finding,
a longtime dear friend of mine and former client, got 15 years out of a double lung transplant.
Nice. I'll tell him. Every time he decides he wants to complain about something else, oh, you've got some more years to go. Keep moving. But what I have learned from listening to my friends and watching them is that, and this is sad, but they don't know what they don't know. None of us do about anything. But when they're going down this road with their loved ones, their family, whoever it is that they're going down, there are many, many areas that they don't know how to ask, who to ask, is there even help? And I would tell both of them, keep a list. Start creating a list, because at some point you're going to be asked to help people who have been in your shoes, and you're going to be able to say, well, you know, how about this? How about getting someone to, you know, clean the house for you? There are so many daily things that happen differently when you're sick or when you're a caregiver that you don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Liz ended up as a 24/7 caretaker for her mother. And it's gotten to the point where she's afraid to even go to the grocery store. So they do have someone who comes in for a few hours the other day just so she could get her car serviced.
And these are things you don't think about. I mean, you just don't, because you're, you know, trucking along, doing your normal thing, and all of a sudden everything changes, and you really don't. I found this with my friends and my sister-in-law. You just don't know where to go for help. You don't know if that help is available. You don't know, you know, will my insurance pay for this? Will Medicare pay or Medicaid? I don't know the difference. Well, how will I get this paid? Can I afford this? Do I want people in my house? So many questions. And I'm thinking that anybody who can create a kind of a system that actually helps people navigate their way through some of this would be very helpful to people.
That's a brilliant
idea. And
that
should be, that should be covered by the press, right?
Yes. And you or someone you know should start documenting all of that.
Oh, they are. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, what did you document today? And, of course, both of their husbands have passed. But even now, I'll say, okay, your husband's been gone a year today. What? Where are you still feeling, oh, my God, I can't break free of this mindset? And that's a big part of it, too. There are so many things that change during COVID, during, you know, catastrophic illnesses in family.
Yes.
Everything changes.
During COVID especially.
That's exactly right.
Years ago, I recall one of my best friends, her husband died suddenly, and 3 days later, her mother died.
Oh.
And I had a conversation with her where she said, you live alone. How do you cook for yourself? How do you feed yourself? And I thought, wow, that's nothing I would have anticipated. And my heart just went out to her.
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know. And
right.
You don't know where you can find assistance. And let's face it, many of us are, you know, we've been so accustomed to doing everything on our own, and it works just fine. Now we're like, oh, my God, I need to find help. Do I need help? What kind of help do I need? Can I afford? There's so many questions. And COVID doesn't make it. That's exactly right. And COVID just makes it that much more difficult. So, and that takes me, you know, back to why you're here today, because people who are listening to this and they think, oh, my God, I can write that book or I can write that course. How do they get covered in the press? How do they write a press release? How do they make it newsworthy? So let's just use my little case study because it is so close to my heart and talk about how they would say, okay, I've got this terrific book. There's a ton of really actionable tips and advice in it. How do I get it covered in the press?
Well, let's start with basic press release writing.
Okay.
It's known as covering the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And my personal belief, and you can find all kinds of formats online for press releases and guides. My personal belief is that no headline, no lead or first paragraph or second paragraph should start with an, or the. There's always a more interesting word to lead off with. And that's a personal idiosyncrasy. The headline should restate the first paragraph in a briefer and compelling way. These days, because everything is transmitted electronically, you need a good subject line. Used to be you needed a good headline. Today, first thing people are going to look at is the subject line. So it better be compelling, or they're going to hit delete before they get to the headline or the first paragraph. We have an email blast that went out earlier this morning where the subject line is father of the cell phone.
We talked about him last week.
Yes, we did.
You and I. Yeah, we sure did.
Launching the campaign for Marty Cooper's book, Cutting the Cord. We have another press release that went out this morning, which talks about the global peace in the streets 7th Annual Film Festival, which is scheduled for December 15th. Excuse me, and will be on UNTV, so broadcast globally. Normally, it's done live at the UN, and I've been so jealous. This is a film contest for kids from 5 to 18, and they make a 1 to 5 minute film on how they would create peace in the streets.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
Over the 7 years of the festival, entries have come in from 30 countries. And not one of the films has ever been angry. They're all kind and gentle.
Well, and that would make sense since the topic is peace in the streets. You have to have kindness. You need to have empathy. Goodness knows we seem to be lacking a bit of that these days.
With things that's going on in the world, I could see that someone would be cranky and angry and that would reflect in their film, and that's not been the case, which tells me we can have a lot of hope for the future with the generations that are coming up.
Listen, I have to, and this is a complete aside, but I have not given up on our world. I never will. Yeah, we've got factions. I know. I mean, we've got people who are angry, irritable, bitchy. Let's just call them what they are. We have some people that are just, they're just bad people. They, you know, they're born that way. They're going to stay that way.
Bad people in every profession. And
that's exactly right.
Every demographic.
Right.
Country. Yeah.
You know, you avoid them. You ignore them. My favorite word has always been, my mother said that my favorite word was, my first word was not mom or dad, it was no. And she said I meant every syllable of it, no. But, you know, I just don't allow myself to get sucked into really angry, irritable people who have nothing good or kind to say. I'm not a Pollyanna. Don't get me wrong. I've got my own opinions and they're strong. And sometimes I have to bite my lip because I have no filters. I am not giving up on this world or the people that populate it. It's not in me to do so.
I just love it when there's such a global representation of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so keep going. We've only got about 12 minutes, and I don't want to keep interrupting you, so keep going.
Well, you asked about writing a press release. Did I give you all the detail that you would like on that?
That's perfect, because, and I actually shared the press release that you wrote about this podcast. It's on my Facebook page. You can find it. You know, so if you're looking for the audience, if you're looking for a really good press release that covers all of this, shoot me a note, mail@yourofficeontheweb.com, and I'll send you a copy of it. And you can find it just about anywhere. So now, what's the next step? You've got the press release. It's positive. It gives you the information where you need to be, what it's all about. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, press releases that are long-winded, I don't know about you, but I lose focus after about the second paragraph. What do you think of those?
A lot of press releases do get long, especially for some nonprofits where you have to give tribute to X number of sponsors or people need to get quoted. So the rule has always been that a press release is in, the paragraphs are in the order of their importance.
Gotcha.
And you figure an editor is going to start at the bottom and start chopping.
Oh, good point. So it does have to flow. It has to be readable. And this is another
flow. The most important point to be up top. And once you have a great press release, what are you going to do with it?
Well, and that was my next question. I use PR Log a lot for my clients because it's there. They do a good job of getting it out there. But what do you do with a press release? How do you now disseminate it out to the world?
P PR Log mainly archives on websites, does it not, Denise?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and a lot of people actually want to get to newspapers, magazines, radio, television. So to go beyond websites, you can use a more expensive service. I like PR Newswire better than Business Wire, but a 400-word release, and that's going to get you to write tightly, is going to cost about $800. And if you go over the 400 words, they charge extra for every 125 over. And if it's 2 words over, it's the 125 charge.
So instead of spelling A-N-D, you use the little thing, the little, not ampersand, but you know what I mean.
That's one word.
Oh, is it? Darn,
yes.
I'm trying
it's
to cheat here.
It's words.
Oh. Okay, but if you have a really, really important event or, you know, something that you genuinely need the world to know, that's a fair price because you're getting it out there to newspapers, to TV shows, wherever it needs to go.
We custom curate a media list for each of our clients. And depending on what they're announcing, that list may vary. With Dr. John, for example, we have a general media list. We have a healthcare list. We have a Latino list because there's a high incidence of diabetes in the Latino community. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
One of his books was translated into Spanish. So we've done some special targeting with that. And, yes, we target national media. He's based in Portland, so we target there. We've also targeted New York and Florida, again, because of the incidence of diabetes. So when we launched his childhood cancer book, we added parenting publications.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is it's very important when you're writing your PR, your press release, and then you're getting ready to get it out to the world, you really need to understand who your audience is. You can't just put it out there and say, okay, I'm done. Good luck. Off you go. Have a good day.
Audiences, and the right media list is every bit as important as a good press release.
Understood.
Because if it goes to... We were hired by an author years ago, and his vanity publisher had sold him a PR package, and he shared their media list with me. He was a psychiatrist. His book was written both for professionals and for lay people. But they had agricultural outlets on the media list.
Why?
Well, I think they had one media list that they used
for
everybody. Oh,
boy.
There was no thought or reason in what they did. And I took one look at that and I said, you paid them for this?
That's a question I ask my clients a lot. It's almost my favorite question. What the hell were you thinking? You know, it falls into that category.
We're too much alike, Denise.
It's dangerous, I know. So
yes,
how did you correct this? I'm assuming that you said, okay, we don't really need farmers to pay attention to this. There you go.
And that's what we do. We rarely use a paid wire service unless it's a publicly traded company, in which case you need to comply with SEC rules for simultaneous distribution. And we had one client who was launching a new company, and He was a billionaire. And he, in order to brand quickly and effectively, we had a press release out on the wire service every week for him for several months. And it worked. He got great pickup, great coverage, branded. Then his attorney talked him into changing his business model. And company is dormant today. But he's retired. He's happy.
Oh, no. Well, the advice you get, that's another story altogether. Try to get the best advice you can get. Whoever is coming from you, again, you don't know what you don't know. Amazing.
No successful entrepreneur company starts out doing what they intended to do.
Oh, no. No. It's if you think you know everything you need to know on day one, sit down and think about it. Because you've just asked, you know, the entities above or below or whoever to just smack you around a good bit. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. So just get ready to go, well, geez, I guess I better, here we go, pivot. I hate that word. It's been overused. Adapt.
Rethink one.
Yeah, exactly right. So we've talked about how to be newsworthy and, you know, what's important to be newsworthy. So now you've got this press release, you've got these, you know, great events, whatever it is that you really want the news to know about in a positive and helpful way. How do you approach them? You know, I'm guessing PR log is not one of the best ways to go. So when you have like the Komen event, that was a huge event. How did you get in touch with the media? Do you call them directly? Do you have email lists? How do you do that?
We build an email list, and we send it out. Our software that we use for that e-blast tells us who opens it and who clicks through.
Right.
And it bounces. So when we follow up and some people don't want phone calls. Some people want emails. We go by what we know people prefer. And these days it's more email than phone calls. And most of them aren't at the other end of their phone because they're not at the office yet. We follow up. And sometimes someone actually responds to our first email. That's the exception, not the rule. So anyone doing their own PR should realize it takes a lot of time and a lot of heavy lifting. You don't just send out a press release and it instantly gets published. You have to work it.
Exactly. And it's a bit of a long game, isn't it? I mean, you have to know if you've got an event coming on in 6 months, shouldn't you be kind of laying the groundwork for that?
Absolutely.
You know, for the press to understand what's going on, you can't say 2 weeks, we're going to have this. Can you give me free publicity in the back of your newspaper? I don't know that you didn't even get a response.
Magazines plan 6 months in advance.
Right. See, there's so much to learn here, and we've only got about a minute left. Remember, I told you this is always the fastest hour on the internet, I'm telling you.
It is.
Is there anything in this list of things that I wanted to ask you? I think we covered a lot of it in a roundabout kind of way. Is there anything before I let you go that you really want people to understand and to know and, you know, just how to be cautious and not make mistakes and get really covered in mud if you do make a mistake with the press?
Well, I would urge that people ask for what they want and accept no gracefully, because the most wonderful thing in the PR world is that you can go back to them and present it with a different angle, and that may fly. You just can't keep going back with the same angle.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I had somebody contact me the other day. Clearly, she was on the wrong podcast. And she was kind of waxing eloquent about how much she had enjoyed this episode, had watched an episode, which doesn't happen because, you know, I broadcast live. So that was my first hint. And it was about a topic that I would never cover anyway. And, you know, I emailed her back and said, listen, I'm pretty sure that I'm not your target here, that, you know, you're thinking of someone else, but I hope you find whoever it was, and good luck to you. Well, she had to think about that for a while because she was very embarrassed, and I got another email back, and I just said, okay, we're done with that. But we weren't, because she thought about it, and she very kindly and very smartly said, I'm so sorry. I'm very embarrassed. I did not do my homework, but this is what I learned from this interaction, and I hope you will consider me for another time. So that was great. I mean, she, you know, she admitted that she had not done her homework, and, you know, and still the topic that she's presenting is not one of interest to me, but I really appreciated her saying, oh my gosh, and that she learned something from it. So, you know, humility, I think, is, you know, being a little bit humble is also something we need when we're approaching anybody, the news, media, anybody.
In everything we do.
I agree. Devin, where can people find you?
They can find me at Blaine, B-L-A-I-N-E, Group, Inc., I-N-C, .com, or they can call. Office number is 310-360-1499, and yes, we are in the office. The press are considered essential, so by extension, I believe we are as well.
Oh, no kidding. Before I let you go, is there anything, last final tip that you would like to share, or did we cover it?
We covered an awful lot. I could do tips all day. So I think we're good for now.
Okay, great. Devin, thank you. It has been, as always,
you,
wonderful.
Denise, I enjoyed this.
You. I do too. I love chatting with you. It's always terrific speaking with you. And I seriously, I always walk away with a bunch of notes just because I'm picking your brain all the time. And I appreciate you letting me do that. So thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. And honestly, anywhere else you consume your business podcasts, just look for your Partner in Success Radio anywhere, you know, iTunes, iHeart. I'm in, we're now in Amazon Prime and under the podcast tab. Who knew?
That's great.
I saw that a few weeks ago and went, hey, and I petted myself on the head, did a little dance, and then got back to business. But it was fun. So just look for your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Thank you, Devin.
Thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.